Good morning.
I think I'm like Reed. A couple of y'all needed a couple more cups of coffee this morning. I tell you what, if you're not excited this morning after what you've heard, you might want to check a pulse. Because I'm going to tell you, that last song that those young people sung, He Knows My Name. There's nothing greater on this planet to know that you know that you know Jesus Christ knows your name. Not only does He know your name, He cares so much about you, He gave His life for you. Hey, He didn't go part of the way, He went all the way, right? Hey, and if that's not good enough, man, you're a tough crowd, right? Hey, He's going to prepare a place for you. Hey, it ain't just a normal place. You see, it's not a four-bedroom or a three-bedroom place. It's a mansion. He's doing that right now. He is preparing a place for those who know Him as their personal Savior. And I can go back, and when I was 11 and a half years old and I got introduced and started talking and people talking to me about Jesus, it didn't take a very short long after that, and when I was 12, that I met a man named Jesus for the first time personally. And so today, as you already know, David and Sarah are sick this morning. I ask you, and they covet your prayers for them, that they will quickly be healed and they will get back to their everyday life. He hated he could not be here. He texted me last night and says, hey, can you be on standby? And has everybody like played a sport or been on the bench one time before? And then the coach says, hey, be ready. Like your heart starts racing a little bit. Hey, I might get a chance today. Hey, I might get a chance to go in the game today. So I was kind of like nervously waiting, you know, and I was like, you know, first thing I did, I started praying. I said, God, if it is the case, what shall you have me preach on? And so I prayed last night and kind of prepared what God had laid on my heart, and I couldn't get the word prayer off my mind. So God began to deal with me about prayer and how we should pray and why we should pray. And I was like, well, God, you know, that's kind of simplistic. We all know we should pray. If you've been to church before, you've heard how you got to pray. And I said, well, you know, God, we'll just use that thought. And David texted me this morning about 7 that he just couldn't go this morning. And so, tag, I'm it. So please nobody leave because David's not here and you got to fill in. All right? So I'm going to do my absolute best to give you what God gave me. And so this morning when I was preparing and praying, this devotion that I read many, many years ago, as most of you know that I coach, I've been a coach for 15 plus years at various levels. But I read an FCA devotion one time about a fourth string quarterback. It's one of those fluke things in a season in college. First quarterback gets hurt, second quarterback gets hurt, third quarterback gets hurt later in the season. So here it comes, like game on the line, bowl game on the line, and they turn around, and I believe as a coach, you're looking around like, who else can I put in? Like, hey, you might can throw a pass. Let me try you. But the fourth quarterback come in, and he let him down a drive, and they end up winning the game. He scored a touchdown, threw a touchdown pass, won the game. And so God reminded me about this particular story and like kind of like where I'm at. You know, I was like, you know, how many times in life do we say we're not good enough? How many times in life do we struggle with that thought of I'm not equipped enough or I'm not well enough? And I began to think about that guy, like, he's a four-string quarterback. He had no idea he was going to get in that game that day. And needless to say, to lead him to that. And I begin to think about our walk with the Lord and how many times we sell ourselves short to do His great work among the people. We'll say, I can't go and knock on door to doors. I can't go and share the gospel. I don't know enough. Well, I can promise you this. If Jesus knows your name, if He knows your name and you know Him, you're equipped because He's going to give you the words to speak. If you'll just humbly submit yourself. If you will prayerfully submit yourself. So if you've got your Bibles today, turn to the book of Luke this morning. Book of Luke in the 18th chapter. Some very familiar scripture. God brought this to my mind this morning. I was going with another passage, but He brought me back to Luke 18 this morning. Some very familiar scripture about prayer and how we should pray. And so I began to think, and I do covet your prayers this morning. And as you're turning your Bibles to Luke 18, God brought me this story this morning. There was an evangelist, okay, who was preaching a sermon and preaching a revival at a church. And there at the end of the altar call, you know, he was at an altar call, and there was a long line of people coming to get prayer. And there was this big old guy coming down, like 6'5", 220, ripped, big guy, like kind of scary if you meet him in the alley, right? And he comes up, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I need you to pray for my hearing." And man, that evangelist was on fire. He's like, "Man, this guy's the biggest dude in the house. Like, if I can help him and God can help him, man, we can do some great things." So he immediately said, "I'll pray for your hearing." He lays his hands on his head. He prays a prayer like he's never prayed before. I mean, he, like, as they say in the South, he shucked some corn praying. And so when he got done, he said amen. He was excited. He just knew God was going to touch him. And he looked at the guy, and he yells above the song, "How's your hearing now?" And he said, "Preacher, I don't know yet. My hearing in the court's next Wednesday." So sometimes we think when we start praying, sometimes we misunderstand what we should pray about, right? Have you ever done that? We pray for something we want, not what we need. Anybody ever done that? We pray for our desires and not his desires. And so I want to caution you on that. So let's look at chapter 18, and we're going to start with verse 9 this morning. I want to ask you, if you'll stand to your feet for the honor and reverence of God's word this morning. So Luke chapter 18, verse 9, and it says, "And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." They were righteous and they despised others. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eye unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." You may be seated, and let us pray. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, God, we come to you this morning. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for everything that you've already done in this service this morning. God, there's no doubt through our song service that you have prepared and softened hearts this morning for the word that you will have me preach. God, I do pray that you will hide me behind the cross, and these people in this church will not see me, God, but they will see your son, Jesus Christ, hanging on that cross for them. God, they will see his hand reaching for them, God, to pull them out of their desperate need. God, you'll pull them out of that miry dirt and just that awful situation that we're in. And God, that you will love them, and God, that you will share it, and you will just shower them with love. But God, most importantly, God, Jesus will give the gift of salvation today. And God, and you will help and you will heal this morning. And God, as we begin, as we open up your word and we read this story, God, there's no doubt in my mind there's someone here that falls on both sides of the fence, that we've stood up and we've boastfully prayed about ourselves or boastfully prayed for what we want and not what you want. And then we've also been on the other side of that shoe, the other side of that coin, and we just so desperately were in need of a touch from you, and we come humbly. And so, God, I pray that you will speak through me. God, that you will open ears for the first time. God, you will soften hearts to your message. And God, most importantly, God, you will give them the courage to respond to your message. You'll give them courage to step out in faith. God, you'll give them courage to come to an altar of repentance. And God, they will plead for your name and plead in your name's sake. And God, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for this opportunity. And we ask these things in your son's precious and holy name. Amen. And so when I began and I read this verse, and I think many of you here, you probably have heard this story, all right? We all know people who love to stand up and say, "Look at me." We know people who say they know the word, they know of the word, and they know about the word, but it's all about themselves. And so in this particular parable that we read here, God began to deal with me was how many times do we stand boldly and boastfully, and like sometimes it's unintentional, but we come across that, right? We come across that we're good. We got it together. And I begin to think about this Pharisee. And we all know about the Pharisees. And they were very religious. And they were very traditionalist. They missed the point, I believe. They missed the relationship piece, in my opinion. And when I begin to think about that, is how many times we stand and boast to our God. Look what I did. Look what I can do. Man, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this. And sometimes it's not necessarily you're up top and you're just shouting it. Sometimes you're thanking it. Man, I've done pretty good today. God, I've made it, so to speak. But yet, if we look in this story and what God is trying to tell us, in my personal opinion, and what God showed me, it's not who can yell the loudest. It's not who can boast the most and who has done the most. It's those who are desperate enough that everything they do through prayer, and they do to honor God Himself and to glorify Him. You see, we miss the mark, I do believe, in our culture today. It's all about being first, right? It don't matter who I've got to beat, I'm going to beat them. It don't matter who I got to step on, I'm going to step on them. Hey, and it don't matter how I got to get there, I'm going to get to the top. You see, I think that's what the Pharisees are all about. I'm the most religious. I'm the best. Just look at me. I dress the way. I go to church. I mean, wait, he had that long laundry list, right, of the things that he had done. Check boxes, right? He had checked the list. I mean, if you look at it on the outside, people would say, man, he's got it together. Hey, be real, real. Some people here will say, you got it together. But deep down, we don't. Deep down, you know that we are missing the mark. Deep down, you know that you don't desperately get on your knees and fall to your face and cry out to our God to heal you, to save you, to lead you, to guide you. Many times throughout the Bible, Jesus tells them that we should, you know, come as what? Little children. You know, if you've had kids yourself, you know your kids are desperately in need of you, right? Even, yes, teenagers, y'all are in desperate need of your parents, I promise. All right, trying to make house payments, mortgage payments, light payments, and just food payments. Because, look, I got a teenager, and he's eating us out of house and home. Look, I might have to take a small loan out for that. All right, but that's okay. But if I'm a teenager, I can't do that without my parents. And infants, more so. But yet, how many times do we see kids boastfully proclaim, I got it, Mom and Dad. I got this. And unfortunately, how many times do we see not just kids fall, but adults fall because we say, I got this. I'm good enough. But yet God doesn't want us to say, I got this. He wants us to say, God, you got this. God, you give me what I need. You deliver me. You use me. And whatever you say, I'll do. Not put conditions on it. And that's when I look at this publican here who is not, that's not a job that most people wanted either, a tax collector. If you've ever had to take money from somebody, when you go knock on that door, that's not a pleasant feeling, right? To say, hey, I need your money now. Like, nobody liked them either. But I want you to notice what he did. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. I see a desperate, desperate man who was in need of a touch. And I begin to think about that song just now about how that he knows my name. Man, how unworthy I am. For the creator of this universe, God Almighty, to not only know my name, but he sent his only one and only son in my place. Amen on that, right? And if you've got Jesus today, that should put a smile on your face no matter what situation you're in. No matter how desperate you are, if you've got Jesus, guess what you've got? You've got hope. Hey, you got grace when you don't need grace. Hey, you've got compassion when you don't deserve compassion. And more than importantly, you've got eternal life that's been paid. Think about that. Eternally, it's been paid. Look, I think last time I preached here, I think I made the comment like, there's nothing better feeling when you go out to eat and somebody says, hey, somebody slips, the waiter gets your ticket and pays for it. It's paid in full. Hey, that's pretty good, especially for a Baptist preacher who likes to eat, right? That's the greatest thing. But your God sent his son and paid it all. Paid it all. Not partially, but paid it all. And so I began to think about some Bible verses, and God gave me some Bible verses this morning. I'm going to run real quickly. You can mark them down, or you can flip to them if you want to. But there's several that I want to read this morning. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We all know 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You see, prayer is important. It's not a one-time thing. It's not one time when I want to go get saved, I'm going to pray. That's not what prayer is. It's important, right? You have to make that prayer. You have to ask Jesus into your heart. But prayer is so much more than that. That is just the beginning of your prayer walk. That's just the beginning of your life. You see, God wants to hear from you daily, hourly, minutes, seconds. Everything you do, pray without ceasing. You want to see God work in your life? Pray. Pray for His will. Hey, you want to see God do work in your family? Pray for your family. Hey, you want to see God work do work in our community? Pray for our community. But you see, if we all go home and we all come back on Wednesday and we hadn't prayed, we hadn't read our Bible, have we done our part? That's a no. Y'all can say no. We haven't done our part, right? And you say, look, I'm a teacher, I'm a coach, I like some interaction every now and then. It's okay to say amen, it's okay to say that's right. Hey, and it's okay to pray right now because that's what we need, right? It's prayer. Through my grandmother's prayer, I honestly, to goodness, believe that I came to know Jesus, and it was because of those prayers that she prayed. It wasn't because she saved me. It was because Jesus saved me. But I had somebody praying for me. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no doubt in my mind, she had a direct impact in me becoming saved. Direct impact in my mother becoming saved. Because once I got saved, guess what? They started going to church. And guess what happened? Jesus started working. And it's amazing the domino effect when you get in the house of the Lord and you begin to start following God and praying to God, how God will work things out that you had no idea what happened and how it happened and when it happened. All you can look back on it and say, God did that. I didn't. I don't know what happened, but God did. And so God gave me a couple more verses. James 5:13, it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. You see, when we sing, and I know I say it a lot of times, I tell the youth a lot of times too, hey, when you sing, you should smile because you're singing to God, right? You're singing praises to God. Be merry. Be thankful. Smile. Hey, look, I promise you, if you start smiling more, people around you are going to go, what's wrong with you? Kid you not, right? We all walk around our community, right? We doom and gloom. Woe is me. So if you put a smile on your face and you're merry and you start singing psalms and you start singing songs about our Lord, people are going to look at you like you're a three-headed monster going, what has gotten into you? And man, what a door that is. Now you got to enter and say, hey, man, you know what happened to me? Hey, I went to church this week and I met with the Lord. Hey, maybe I got saved this week. Hey, maybe I got my life back right on track with the Lord. And God said, you know what? Be merry. He said, be thankful in all circumstances is what it says in the Bible. All circumstances. Be in much in prayer. And I'm just praying. Look, I just want to say, I love you because God loves me. And they're going to go, you okay? And you know what? Then it's really cool part. God's really cool. Then God's going to start working on them. God's going to start working. And all you did was just be obedient and say, God did it, man. You just got to mention Jesus' name and Jesus goes to work. It's fantastic. You don't have to do anything other than that. You don't have to quote scripture. You don't have to, like, have a sermonette, you know, a mini three-minute sermon. Look, you just tell what you did and how you met God and what God brought you from and how He's working in your life, and God will take care of the rest. Hey, you can tell that in less than 3 minutes, I promise you. 3 minutes or less, how good God is to you. Hey, it says in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You got something going down in your life? Pray. Hey, you got something good going on in your life? Pray and be thankful. Hey, you got something coming up and you don't know what's going to happen. You got some uneasiness in your life? Pray. Hey, pray without ceasing. Don't just do it one time. Keep praying about it. Hey, get other people to pray about it. That's the greatest thing about church. That's one of the things I think he developed this whole idea of church is that we're the hands and feet, right? That's first and foremost, right? But it's the fellowship. It's that I know I can call you and say, hey, can you pray for me? Can you pray for this situation? Hey, can you pray for my son, my daughter, my mother, my whoever? And you got that many more prayers to a holy God, and you have other people interceding on your behalf. And sometimes, honestly, guys, I don't know if you've ever got to a point where you're so low and you're so broken that you can't pray no more. That's when you need your church to step up for you and pray for you. And I begin to think about how and what prayer makes us. Why is it so important? Why does God say to pray without ceasing? And this right here, it kind of floored me last night when God gave me this thought. Hey, prayer is to allow us to become more like Christ. That's the whole goal. Because if I'm praying to God, I'm going to know about God. If I'm praying to God, I'm going to learn about God. And if I'm praying to God, God's will is going to start developing into my will. And I'm going to begin to start saying and seeing things through God's eyes. And I begin to think about that. And you look at Jesus' life. Did Jesus pray? Yes. During his most difficult times, what did he do? He prayed. I go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't pray one time, right? He prayed over and over and over for hours on end because he knew what was coming, right? He knew what was about to partake. Hey, he went even so far as to say, hey, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass. Like, he knew what was coming, but he prayed. He had to pray because you know why? Because he was about his Father's business. And if you don't pray, you don't know about your Father's business. There's no relationship. And so that's the first and foremost to me. I think prayer clearly gives us that lifeline, gives us that direct interaction with our Lord and Savior, with our God, with the Holy Spirit. Because if I don't pray, I'm trusting on my own understanding. And that's scary, right? I'm not a very smart person. That would be very bad. Some of you are smarter than I am. And if I relied on my own understanding, I'm going to fail. I'm going to make mistakes. But see, through prayer, I begin to learn more about God. I begin to learn more about what God's will is for my life. Hey, and through prayer, I become closer. And through prayer, my walk begins to look more Christ-like. My talk begins to be more Christ-like. My look, I know I'm ugly, but my look begins to be more Christ-like. Focused and Christ-centered. Everything I do because I'm praying, it's on my mind. That's why, like, it's anything. If you want to remember something, if you want to speak a different language, you can't just learn it one time and then forget about it and never speak it, right? Like, I used to be able to speak fluently in Spanish, have conversations, but guess what I stopped doing? I stopped talking in Spanish. And guess what happened? Quickly, it was no bueno. It was not well. And when I tried to go and speak Spanish, people who know Spanish look at me like I'm a three-headed monster. Like, what are you talking about? Because I didn't know it anymore. And look, unfortunately, guys and ladies, when you stop praying to God and you stop reading your Bible and you stop becoming like Christ, the world looks at you and like, aren't you supposed to be different? But I can't tell anything different about you because you've gotten so far away from it. You see, our prayer life and our reading and our following after Christ, that helps our testimony. That helps grow his kingdom because I am prayerfully following his will. And it gives us those avenues to talk about Jesus. It gives us that avenue to be more like Jesus. And so, we all know that. I think that's kind of common sense, or I did this morning. I was like, man, that made sense last night. I get that. We're supposed to be closer, more like Jesus and closer to him. And I kind of referenced it already. I think our prayer life and actively praying, it shows God's heart for us. It shows God's will for us, God's plan for us. And if I'm not praying through him and to him, I don't know. I don't have that open communication with him. And I begin to think, and God brought me back to there in John 17 where God, Jesus is praying for his disciples and other people. And it says in verse 21 or 20 or 21, it talks about how that all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. And so Jesus was praying and he's talking about, hey, I am one in you, but I want them to be one in me. So we're one in you. It's that connection. If we're more like Christ, we're closer to God. If we're following Christ, we're going to follow God more. It's to me, I was like, man, like it wasn't really epiphany. Or I guess it might have been a light bulb for a not very smart person. But I was like, whoa, I get it. That makes 100% sense. The closer I am to Jesus, the closer I am to God. The more I act like Jesus, the more I act like God. Pretty direct relationship, right? Maybe it was just me that had the epiphany this morning. Y'all like, man, you're not very smart. All right, but I had that epiphany. I was like, that is fantastic. That's simplistic. I operate under that KISS technique. Keep it simple, silly. All right? I don't want to call myself stupid anymore. All right? Keep it simple. Sometimes we make it so hard to follow God. And let me show you how easy it is to follow God. You just do this. You just go. Just follow Him. And God will start working. And God will start using you. But many times we sit on a comfortable pew. We sit in our house. We sit in a recliner and say, God, use me. But we still stay seated. How many times does churches across this country go, we need volunteers? Anybody ever heard that? Hey, we need, watch this, we need help in the kids department. How many times, honestly, how many times have we heard that, right? Hey, we need somebody to do this. And some people go, not me. That's not my expertise. Like, that's not where I'm supposed to be. And we don't do anything. We turn this one down. We turn this one down. We turn this one down. And we're still sitting on the sidelines. You see, I told you that story about the FCA devotion, about that four-string quarterback. You see, if he'd have sat there and he'd have done nothing and he hadn't prepared and learned the plays, they would be in trouble, wouldn't they, when they put him in the game, right? Been real trouble. You see, sometimes in our life, the opportunity to serve the Lord is unexpected sometimes. Sometimes you don't, like, you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden out of the blue, there's a moment where you get to impart a little wisdom to them about Jesus. And if you're not ready, guess what's going to pass? That moment. It tells us to be ready in and out of season, right? In and out of season. Be ready. But if we're not praying, we're not reading our Bible, it's really hard to be ready, right? We can give the cookie cutter answer, the godly answer, but sometimes God wants us to give the real answer. He wants to give the truth, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you don't know the truth, you're not learning the truth, you can't give the truth. The old saying is, if you don't got Jesus, you can't give Jesus, right? If you don't got a prayer life, you can't pray. If you're not reading your Bible, you can't speak what the Bible says. You just go by what you've heard and what maybe grandmother told you or grandfather told you or what a preacher told you. You have no personal understanding. And I think through prayer, that's where it comes through. That understanding comes through your prayer life. And I don't know about y'all, but like sometimes, does anybody read the Bible sometimes and go, man, I don't understand that. Like, I don't know. And you have to pray about it, right? And you have to, like, internalize. And you have to say, God, what do you mean here? Like, what is this important? Why is this important? How does this apply to me? And if you just leave it there and don't do anything about it, it's going to stay there. But, man, if you chew on it and you pray about it, man, it might be in a song that you hear that God gives you that answer. Hey, it might be in a conversation. Hey, it might be in a sunrise in a deer stand. Look, some of the hardest messages I've ever been preached to was when I was sitting in a deer stand and nothing else was around me but God Himself. And I was like, I hear you, God. Loud and clear. Loud and clear. I see it. But yet, if you're not praying and you're not following and you're not reading, God can still work. Don't get me wrong. My God is big. I hope your God is big too. I hope He's real big. But you see, my God can still work, but man, just think about the doors He could open for you and that He wants to open for you if you would be prayerfully, and just everything you do be in prayer about. Pray without ceasing. Imagine where God can take you. And I'm going to tell you right now, God has big plans for us. You see, God wouldn't send His Son to die if He didn't value us. Think about that. I wouldn't give my, no offense, I love you all, but I wouldn't give my kids up for y'all. I wouldn't. But God did. And the crazy thing about that to me sometimes, when I've got my own kids, when I had my first kid, it really resonated. I can remember vividly when we had Kyler. When we had Kyler and I got to hold him and it hit me, God spoke to me and He was like, I gave my one and only son for you. You see, it had more meaning to me then. Because I was holding my own son, at that time my only son. And I was like, I was just broken that God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son. Amen on that one, right? And I start thinking, and then I read about Jesus and how he prayed. Now, do y'all think he prayed, God is good, God is great, amen, let's go? Did he pray like that? Nope. You see, God and Jesus prayed. He prayed for the Father's will. He prayed for everyone to know him, for everyone to come to know God. He prayed and prayed and prayed. A lot of times, guys, look, we're all guilty. We'll do a real quick prayer just to say we did what? That we prayed. But we're missing out on so much more. We're missing out on an intimate, personal relationship when we just put God in a little checkbox and say, yep, I read my Bible. Yep, I've said my prayer. I am good. I can go face the day. Hey, sometimes your prayer life should exceed your TV watching, should exceed your time at the ball field. Hey, that hits home. That hits home. It should exceed your hobbies, right? Pray without ceasing. Hey, you can pray going down the road. Just don't close your eyes when you're driving. That would be real faith. Don't go there. God don't want you to do that. All right? Open your eyes and pray. You can pray at work, right? You can pray and you can pray. God, use me. God, be here with us. Be with that person. Be with that person. And so when I begin to think about those times that God prayed, what prayer reveals to us, the biggest thing I think prayer reveals to us is the wisdom of God. Where we should go. God is going to instruct you. God is going to direct you. And if you're not praying, you can't get his wisdom. If you're not reading his word, you can't get his wisdom. We go back to James 1. It talks about if anyone lacks wisdom, right? If you don't have wisdom, you don't have knowledge, what should you do? Ask. Simple, right? Simple. If you don't know God, ask. If you don't know about God, ask. If you need to know how to do something, ask. Pretty simple, right? But we make it so hard. We're afraid of what somebody else might say, what somebody else might think, what my boss might say. Hey, has it ever occurred to you that if you would just do, that person you're afraid of judging you, what if you're the one when you follow God's will, that's when God shows up in their life? And that was their appointed time to meet Jesus. And it was all because you were obedient and following his will. Sometimes we're so afraid of what others will think if I say this, if I invite them to church. But man, what if it's that thing, that one more mention of Jesus that gets them to realize their desperate need of Jesus, their desperate call for Jesus. But yet many times we're so afraid of what they might say, what they might do, what they might think, we don't say a thing. We go on with our day and say, God, if it be your will, to send somebody else. Or this is one of the... God, to send somebody in their path, hey, that person could be you. Just be prayerfully considerate of what God might have you to do. And in this particular verse that we read, this parable, I go back to the desperate need of the publican. He gets into a position. You notice he didn't say, the Bible didn't say he ran up to the altar in front of everybody. It wasn't a show to him. It wasn't like being seen. That wasn't his desire. You see, his desperate desire, and I want to read it again so you really fully get this in verse 13. It said, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eye unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, now listen, this is our cry. This is the cry you should cry out every day. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, because guess what? I'm a dirty, rotten, no good sinner. See, I think we forget that sometimes, right? We come to church, we dress up, we sit in the pew, We volunteer, we serve, and I think sometimes we unintentionally forget where we came from. And sometimes you might say, oh, preacher, I didn't unintentionally, I want to forget where I came from. Like, you don't know me, I want to forget my past. Hey, look, good thing is God's already forgiven you of your past. As far as the east is from the west is what the Bible says. Like, it's gone. But yet, I still think we need to recall how good God was to us and where he brought us from. Don't go back to that playground, but you still need to say, hey, look how far God has brought me. And it's not me that did it. It's him that did it. And he knows your name. And so, have you ever, and I'm getting very close. I believe that God's saying, kind of shut up, Brent. All right. But have you ever got, and you started praying in your prayer life, and you ain't got an answer? Anybody ever prayed something, and you don't got an answer? And like, you keep praying, and you keep praying, and you keep praying, and you're like, God, like, where are you at, God? Like, you may ever get louder with their prayers? Like, you like, get forceful. And like, sometimes we get so loud that all we hear is our prayers, and all we hear is me, 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 me. And he's simply going, not yet. Wait. But we're going, I want it, I want it, I want it. And we don't hear that still small voice because we never take the time in prayer to be silent, to meditate. To meditate on those prayers and meditate on what God wants in our life. And sometimes, you ever got this? You pray for one thing, but God gives you another, completely different. I've had that happen. Or God, you're praying for this, and then God opens a door that you didn't even see possible. Hey, being real, you ever had a door slammed in your face in prayer life? You thinking this is where God wants you to go, this is how God wants you to be, then all of a sudden, it's over here. Hey, that's hard, right? You start preparing for something, and maybe that's what you want. That's where you think you should be. But yet God says, I can use you over here. I need you to plug this gap. I need you to fill in this gap. I need you to be the rally cry over here for me. But yet, if we keep butting our head on our prayer life on here and here and here, like, look, when God tells you to go, just go. It's a whole lot easier, I promise you. I promise you, it's a whole lot easier just to go. And so, I hope you know that his wisdom does exceed our wisdom, right? And so, what God kind of showed me, I'm going to give you five really, really, really quick points. I promise I'm not going to preach on each point. I'm just going to say these points. Look, I know y'all are like, you can't go any farther, preacher. Come on. All right, daily prayer gives us the opportunity to share with God everything in our life. Does he know about it already? Yeah, but he wants to hear it. He wants you to share what's going on in your life with him. All right, this daily prayer, hey, gives you a time to express your gratitude. Every day we should be thanking God for another breath. Every day. No matter how bad your situation, thank God for another breath. Hey, every day it gives us a chance, your daily prayers to, watch this, this is where people miss it, to confess our sins. Because if you think you're not sinning, you better think again. Because you might not be acting upon it, but I guarantee you up here, you're thinking it. Hey, sometimes we sin, and sometimes, honestly, it's unintentional. Omission and commission sins, right? Sometimes you don't realize it, and all of a sudden you read, I've been doing this, that's bad. So you got to pray about it. But if you don't confess your sins, now look, in a church, one person's all it takes to quench the spirit. That's out of the will of God. You want to know why God may not be moving in churches? Well, the church has to look at themselves first, right? You want to know why God's not speaking to you? Maybe we have unconfessed sins in our life. Maybe we've never went to that altar and said, you know what, God, I'm laying this down. I am sorry. I'm repenting, and I'm going to run and flee from this temptation. Hey, daily prayer, watch, is an act of worship and obedience. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. If you're not praying, you're not obeying God's word. You're not obeying what he wants us to do. And the fifth one that God gave me is sometimes harder for men. Because I think I've met a lot of men who like to control a lot of things and fix a lot of things, right? That's something, there's some women who struggle with that too. Don't get me wrong. But what the problem is we try to fix it. And daily prayers allows us to be reconnected to the one that controls our life, the one that controls our eternal life, that reconnects us to know that it's not my will, it's His will in my life. It's where He wants me to go and where He wants to use me. And so there's no doubt in this church today, and it's not a knock on Liberty, it's all churches, no doubt, with this many people, there's someone here, no doubt, that's never confessed their sins to Jesus Christ. They've never called upon the name of Jesus Christ today, ever. And there's no doubt in my mind there's some here that's confessed and said, you know what, and even accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But yet, you are not doing the Father's will. You're doing your will. And there's no doubt in my mind there's someone here that says, you know what, I need a touch. I need somebody to pray with me. I have reached that point where I can't pray no more about this situation. And so as the ladies come for the song this morning, for invitation, I want you to know this altar, it's a nice altar, right? An altar is used for prayer. It's used for healing. It's used for salvation. But a lot of times in churches today, we see people who come forward and we judge them. And we say, oh man, they're backslidden. Or oh man, we fill in the blank. That's right, they need to go. Hey, I'm going to be real. There's not a person in this place that doesn't need to come to an altar for something. Hey, you might say, you don't know, everything in my life is good, preacher. Everything is great. But I promise you, you know somebody that it's not. You might be good right now, but guess what? In an instant, that can change. Your need for God in an instant can drastically change in a blink of an eye. You might get diagnosed with something. A loved one might get into a car wreck. Hey, somebody might have a heart attack. Hey, and being real, we might make a really stupid decision. And we sin and we mess up. But you see, the greatest thing about our Father, the greatest thing, is we don't have to fix it ourselves. You can come to this altar and get help right now. You can come to this altar and get help and leave this place knowing through prayer and through Jesus Christ, you're made complete, you're made whole. Hey, through His blood, you are washed whiter than snow. He forgets what you did. Thank the Lord, right? And all He's looking for is you to be obedient and listen to His Spirit and come. So as we stand to our feet today, and whatever song is laid on your heart, whatever you want to do, please don't wait. I'm not going to belabor the service and just keep on and on, another verse, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you need to come, come.